up thy bed and roll. And immediately he took up his bed. He'd already analyzed. He made a deliberate decision and said, I'm going with Jesus. Being idle is the devil's workshop. I remember them saying that to me when I had grown up. Being idle, leave a child to himself, he'll put his mother to shame, Solomon said. Just try it, you'll find out. Why sit here until we die? We can sit here and die, and that doesn't make any sense. We can have a pity party, us four, and talk about our sores. But that doesn't make any sense. That won't get me well. We can deliberate about it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day while we're dying. That doesn't make any sense. But let's make a decision. How about it, guys? Yeah, let's make a decision. Because if we sit here, we die. If we go into the city, we die because the famine is there. Hey, I got a suggestion. How about let's go into the enemy's camp and look for help in a place you never thought you would find help. And if they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we're dying anyway. God has resources of help from people you never dreamed. He lets you go through things you never dreamed that would drive you to make that decision. Your next decision, sir or ma'am, will determine your destiny. In their deliberation, they came to a permanent decision to get up and go someplace. Move forward. Say that with me. Move forward. Get up. And they arose. Well, let's wait till the morning. They arose in the twilight. They arose when everybody else was saying, it's getting kind of late. I think we'll get up early. No. When you make the decision to live for God, get up. Well, No. You don't understand. He's passing by. You don't understand. He visits you and he gives you a time of visitation. But if you don't call on him while he's passing by, he keeps walking. So in the twilight, in the time, you know, it was the twilight of their life. You know what that means? The end. It was the end of their life. And they got up at the end of the day and said, why sit we here we die? And they began to move toward the enemy's camp in their ill, stinky situation. Probably walking pretty lightly because they got sores on the bottom of their feet. And they arose. And the Bible says when they arose, there aroused a sound from heaven. And all they were doing was like this. Ooh, how much further is it till we get to Samaria? And when they would take a step, heaven would thunder. And it sounded to the enemy like, oh, you hear that? They're getting closer. Oh, I know what it is. And they begin to deliberate. The enemy began to deliberate. You see what happens when you make a decision? You cause the enemy to deliberate. And they began to talk among themselves, just like they had talked among themselves. And they said, oh, I think I know what it is. Oh, them Israelites, they have hired, oh, that's what it is. They've hired them Hittites and they've hired the Egyptians and they're coming out. Oh, we better run while we can. And they arose and fled. The Bible says they fled so hard they took their clothes off. You know, I'd never fled like that, but I've been hunting before. It'd be real cold, you know, and I'd put on extra clothes, and I'd be hunting that squirrel dog about halfway. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm burning up. I'd hang that on a tree, so I'd come back and get it later. That Bible says they left their vessels because when they told the king about this, he didn't believe them. He said, oh, I don't believe that. He sent out four messengers. Go check their story out. And he said, Lord, it's true. We found they left their clothes as they left, and we found that they left their canteens and their water and their vessels and everything. What they're saying is true. And when they came to a decision, it caused the enemy to begin to deliberate. And they, too, came to a decision and said, Why sit here till we die? Why are we going to stay here? We're fixing to die. Let's get out of here. And so when they left, here comes in four tender-footed lepers. Nope. Where's the gatekeeper? Let's go on in. And they go in, and they look, and there's a tent. And they look at the tent. I don't know if you can knock on a tent, but hello? You smell that? They're hungry. How hungry are you for more of God? Amen. 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 They deliberated and made a deliberate decision, and they rose. And when they got there, the enemy had left, and they found that the whole camp was empty. When you make a decision to move forward, God moves ahead of you. Now, if I didn't say anything else you don't understand, you need to understand that. When you make a decision to move forward, God moves ahead of you. Cloud moved ahead. The fire moved ahead. He said, you don't have to worry about conquering the enemy in the Canaan's land. I'll run them out with the hornets. I'll get the wasp, the guinea wasp will run them out. You don't have to worry about, I will move ahead of you. And so if you don't come to a decision, God said, Mom, I'm not doing nothing. When you make a decision, God starts moving. When they made a decision, heaven got aroused and said, "Ooh, they mean something. They mean what they say." And they were headed into that city, and God was driving them out before they ever got there. My. They didn't know that. I said, they didn't know that till they got there. And I'm here to tell you, you don't know it either until you get there. And then you can say, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side when men rose up against me. Hallelujah. When the lepers made this decision to move toward the city left. And it's you this morning have got to meet a time in your life where you come to a deliberate decision. And when they made that deliberate decision, God removed the resistance ahead of them. And the men of that city got confused and terrified and began to run. And they began to hide themselves as these four lepers began to move forward. And I'm here to tell you, you don't know what God's doing while you move forward. They saw themselves as lepers, but the enemy heard them as a mighty army. God hid from them what he was doing till they got there. Because the just shall walk by faith and not by sight. When they got to the city, it was empty of people, but full of food and riches and animals. The Bible says the camels, the beasts were still tied. I mean, they were so scared they didn't even ride out on the beast. I mean, what were they thinking? I'd at least got on a horse. They ran out. They were so scared. And when they got there, they began to rejoice. And they began to say, oh, thank the Lord. Look at all we've got. My Lord, I never thought I'd be so rich in all my life. How much you got over there? Lord, I'm so full. I love banana pudding. Let me get some more of that. Oh, Lord, let's hide this over here. We might have another famine. We better hide this over here. And they started deliberating again. You see? But they're making the wrong decision. And they went into another tent and did the same. One of them said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's talk again. If we don't share the good news, let me talk to this side over here. If you don't share the good news, some mischief will happen to you. This is a day of good tidings. This is a day of victory. There's plenty here for me and everybody else who lives in Israel. We might as well get up now. Let us arise, for if we sit here, we die. They came to the same decision they came to in the first place. If we sit here, we die. That's what they said when they didn't have anything. And then when they got it, they said, if we sit here, we die. I'm here to tell you, living for God is always forward, upward, yes, and amen. There's no place to stop, no place to back up in living for God. You got to keep moving. And so these four guys got up, and they want to go back and tell everybody. I'm here to tell Natalie and Luke, if you got what I got, you're going to want to tell everybody. Hallelujah, what the Lord has done for you. When that lame man got up, he went into a temple he could never go in before being lame. He got in there and he was jumping and he was leaping because he could never leap before. He was telling everybody, he said, what are you doing here, Lord? I'm telling everybody that the Lord has done something for me. But if you don't want to tell the good news and you want to hide it and you want to act like your life is perfect and you didn't come out of the leprosy and you didn't come out of trouble. And I was always blessed. Yes, I was just always. And you want to act like you'd lose your testimony, I'm telling you, you'll lose the anointing that God blessed you with. If we don't tell it, we begin to lose it. I'm here to tell you as they come this morning, we must spread the gospel. This is a day of good tidings. This is a day of the gospel news being spread to other people that are in famine themselves. And after they were full, listen close. They said, if we don't tell the city that we came out of, see, they could have said, but them jokers wouldn't let us in. Now, they, you know, it's not my fault I had leprosy. You know, I didn't ask for this. Let them die. They were willing to walk into the enemy's camp and fall in their hands. And they were willing to go back to other people that had mistreated them too. Must have forgiven them. Because if you had leprosy, buddy, you was rejected. But all along, there was a prophecy, brother, that was in place. In 24 hours, the famine will be over. God was using four no-named, oh, I know Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, all of them. Great. What was the name of the four lepers? But God used a no-name, leprous, diseased, busted and disgusted, hallelujah, stinky, raggedy, four guys that had nothing to lose, but they made a decision. And that decision not only determined their destiny, it determined Israel's destiny. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know this morning if you're in a famine in your family, in your own life, and I'm not necessarily talking about finances. I'm talking about a famine for hope, a famine of faith, a famine of courage. Maybe you're in a generational curse. I don't know, but I'm here to tell you God has called you to change it. It's like that sign. I've looked at that sign and said, Uncle Sam wants. And it didn't matter how I'd go. I'd say, I'm going to get over here. He was still pointing at me. It didn't matter where you get over there. He's still pointing at me. And you can run, but you can't hide. God is calling you. I don't care what you've been through. It does not matter. God is calling you. He called four lepers. He can certainly call you to change a whole generation. The famine was over when these men made a decision to go into the enemy's camp. I'm here to tell somebody you need to get moving. Amen. Why sit here until you die? I just got to think about it some more. I'm going to tell you what I liked about Brother Gidrow and Sister Gidrow. Just one thing. I'm just going to tell you one thing. I was feeling around trying to find somebody, you know, to help me in the church. I'm like, oh, let me try over here. Well, bless God. When God releases me, okay.
How about you? Well, bless God, you know, when my ducks get in a row, I'll let you know. Okay. I called him. I told somebody else to tell him to call me. I think that's the way it was. I said, brother, I'm looking for somebody. I'm your man. I'm your man. Still am. I can't wait on your indecision. I've got to find somebody who's already made a decision. They're already busted and disgusted. He said, Lord, if it hadn't have been for that phone call. You can't sit in indecision and God use you. I've always said, make a decision, even if it's wrong, at least say, I tried. When he gave out the talents, he gave one guy just one. He couldn't make a decision. Well, I know you're a hard man, and oh, he's going to scold me if I lose it, so I think I'll just hide it. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hide it. And when the master comes back, the one that he gave four and the one that had five got 10, he said, how about you? Well, you know, I couldn't make a decision what to do with this. So I decided that here it is. He called him a wicked and a slothful. I'm telling you, God hates that laziness. God hates that laziness. Slothful servant. And he yanked that one he had away from him. He gave it to the one that had five. Said, do something with it. You know how to make a decision. Do you know how to make a decision? You pray about it. You think about it. And you say, Lord, help me. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I can't wait on the ducks to line up and the geese and get a sign to the star hits. I can't wait on that. I got to make a decision. Hallelujah. I tell you this in closing. Give you a little time to deliberate in your mind. You never know. See, I'm glad you shared some of that testimony about your mom and all that. My heart goes out for you. You don't know what people are going through that makes them the way they are. And we sit here and judge them. Oh, you know, they just get their act together. And there you are, got plenty, and you know you're raised in a good old Christian home, and there you are. And you don't know what God's doing. You don't know why they act like they act. You just don't know. Pardon me for getting angry. Every year I get an audit at the office, an internal audit from our company. And so I've had so many auditors that I need to audit them. And so the lady calls me. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, when she called, it was like, hello. I'm so-and-so. I'm coming to audit you. I'm like, oh, in my mind, you know, them little decisions. Oh, Lord, what are they sending this time? I've been with y'all 23 years, and you're, look what you're sending me. And I'm like, oh, Lord, she was late sending me the paperwork, and I had to call the supervisor and say, hey, I need the paperwork to get it ready for you. And then so she sent it, and I'm like, oh, God. So when she came, I'm just being open. When she came, the smell of cigarettes came in before she did. I mean, that was powerful. It just, you know, people that don't smoke, they can sense just a little bit. People that do smoke, they don't smell it. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, Lord, how are you? And I just said, hey, I want to see if you are who you say you are. You got some ID? And she pulled out a card. I said, I need to see a picture along with that, two forms of ID. And she said, oh, I said, no, I'm just picking at you. I'm just picking at you. And she smiled. And I sat down, finished a little work. And I called her in the office. And she went to the back. And she audited books and things. And about noon, she come back out. She said, I'm ready to go over with what you supplied me with. She said, well, I didn't find anything, but some papers you need to throw away, they're outdated. I said, okay, I can do that. She said, I noticed that you used to be a dentist because they see all your history. And now you pastor a church and you. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, let me just tell you what the Lord has done. And I began to tell her how God had walked me through life. I saw some tears in this gravelly old voice of this woman. A hard-looking, wasted-looking life. And when I got through with my story, the tears came to my eyes. She said, well, and we were through with the audit. Well, I was married 17 years to a guy and we ran a dairy farm. And he died and left me with three kids and no income. You don't know what people go through to make them do what they do. And she said, he left me. He didn't mean to, but he left me. And I didn't know what to do. I sold this and I sold that. I had to go back to work. I didn't know what to do. She said, and finally, I met somebody else. Now, somebody may need to listen to this. I met somebody else. And she said, I was so lonely and I was so tired and I needed help so bad that I started dating him, but I avoided some warning signs. There was a few little red flags, but I thought, well, you know, I can overcome that. 20 years later, tells you how old she is. 20 years later, she said, I divorced him. And I regret it. Tears. I should have watched the warning signs. And I don't feel good about what I did. Ashley works for me. I said, turn around. I said, you see that lady in there? I said, God changed her life like that. And he can change your life too. And when she left, I prayed. I said, God, help this lady. She is busted and disgusted. And she has been through some things I've never been through. Who am I to look at her and say, oh, God, they're sending me. That was God's plan. Are you hearing me this morning? I got the good news, honey. Who am I to keep the good news? And say, oh, y'all just stay leprosy. Y'all just stay with no hope. Y'all stay with no power. Y'all stay in poverty while I live in prosperity. Y'all just go, no, this is the good news. What God did for her, he can do for you. And what he did for me, he can do for you. And what he did for you, he can do for you. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? It's been too long since I've preached. Hallelujah. It's time for somebody to analyze your life real quick. It don't take years to do it. It just takes a few moments and say, God, I've got to make a decision. Help me to make the right decision. As they sing here this morning, I ask anybody, hallelujah, it's not yet noon. We got one more minute. Hallelujah. And in 1 minute, God can change your life. Hallelujah. If anybody here needs to make a decision, I'm asking you, come forward. I'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. We'll anoint you with oil. And the God of peace can change your life.